Hello and welcome to another edition of The Strong Side on Sports Talk Radio 102.1. I'm your host, Clark Ramsey, and joining me today in studio, and even on time, is a true professional. He even has a license to prove it. Please welcome Dave Hansen to The Strong Side.
Thanks, Clark. Happy to be here, and happy to be on time this week.
We have survived a whirlwind of a week in high school football that saw a little bit of everything. From blowouts to close games to upsets, we had them all in week number 3 of the regular season.
Without question, Clark, an exciting week in high school football, and I can't wait to dive into all the details.
Tonight's edition of The Strong Side is being presented on WLIW Sports by McDonald's Food and Family Center in Bad Axe and Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick and M25 in Sebring. Over the course of the next 60 minutes, we'll be taking a look around the area at final scores from Friday night, as well as an in-depth look from the WLIW Sports Game of the Week. Cass City traveled to Harbor Beach. All the details coming up as Left Side or Right Side, you're listening to The Strong Side.
It's Chevy Truck Month at Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 and Sebring. Drive to the shore and save more on a new 2014 or 2015 Chevy truck.
This is Jay Maynard. Just here to let you know we have another great lease on a 2014 Silverado 1500 Crew Cab 4x4 LT. It's got leather, straight-in bed liner, 20-inch wheels, all-terrain tires, auto-temperature dual-zone air, heated seats, trailer brake, custom sport package, power seat, rear camera, Bose system. $439 a month for everyone. $397 per month for GM employees and family members. Come see me, Jay Maynard, and let's make a deal.
Find your new truck and find new roads at Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 in Sebring.
Far from the city where the Lorax roams free is the home of a magical truffle of trees. They grow happy and healthy and thick as you please, just waiting for visits from yous and from me's.
Whoa.
In a place you will love with things you'll adore us, it's a magical spot. We call it the forest.
Look, everyone here needs the trees.
And who are you?
Wait, I'm the Lorax, guardian of the forest. I speak for the trees.
Visit the animals. Come see the plants. From the mighty sequoia to the tiniest ants. Discover its beauty. Take time to relax. See brown barbalutes or even the Lorax.
I feel so alive.
I just like hearing you say it.
The forest is there for you to explore. So come once to see it, then come back lots more. Visit discovertheforest.org. This message has been brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Left side or right side, you're listening to The Strong Side on Sports Talk Radio 102.1 with Clark Ramsey and Dave Hansen in studio from broadcasting live from the Clark Ramsey Manor in the east side of the Huron County and beautiful downtown Harbor Beach. It was anything but a Chamber of Commerce weekend. But you know what? The Harvest Fest went off without a hitch, and the car giveaway of WLW was a great success as well. All the key winners that showed up got their chance at it, and it actually went down to the second chance. The sixth person, I believe, in the second chance round went home with that 1972 bright yellow Pontiac Le Mans. Not bad of a weekend, but Dave, let's get right into it. We had a lot of exciting high school football going on Friday night, and they all went on time. No lightning this weekend. Let's take you through the scores board right away. Bad Axe defeats Sandusky, probably the biggest surprise of the weekend. 24-21, Bad Axe with a 3-point victory, gained their first victory of the year. Harbor Beach and Cass City, the game Dave and I were at. Harbor Beach defeats Cass City 42-6, but gives up a touchdown for the first time of the year. Lakers takes out the Ubley Bearcats in Ubley, a big win on the road for the Lakers. Lakers now 3-0, taking out a 14-point victory over Ubley 36-22. Brown City defeats USA, gets back on their scoring winning ways, taking out Brown City by 2 touchdowns. Marlette over Reese by 17 points, Marlette 51, Reese 34, Packover Caseville 53-0, Deckerville 66, CPS 13, of course these last two and 8-man, and Dryden over North Huron 42-0, Owen Gage over Akron Fairgrove 34-0, and Kingston over Charlton Heston Academy 69-12. They have a new biggest fan, and that's the Charlton Heston Academy, and his name is Clark Ramsey.
Yes, it is. Yeah, absolutely in love with that school.
I tell you, I'm going to name my firstborn Clark Charlton Heston Ramsey. It has a great ring to it, you know.
Doesn't sound too bad.
I mean, the great actor, going back to the Ten Commandments, Ben-Hur, and of course the NRA president for 5 years in the early 2000s. But let's get back to high school football, the real guns of the fall. Harbor Beach, of course, was the WLAW Sports Game of the Week, and Harbor Beach takes out Cass City 42-6. Harbor Beach blanked Cass City through three quarters, and in the second string, gave up a touchdown over Cass City late in the fourth quarter. Harbor Beach came out, and it was 35-0 at halftime. Austin Seltz of Harbor Beach had the first three touchdowns for them, a 10-yard run, a 4-yard run, and a 15-yard run, making it 20-0 before we could even blink. Then Brandon Puff came in with an 18-yard run. I knew I'd do that because Derek Puff is Brandon's older brother. And Devin Lemansky with the two-point conversion was good, made it 28-0. And before halftime was on our docket, Josh Shelkey runs back an 87-yard punt return for a touchdown. Mitch Hearn throws in the extra point, makes it 35-0 and a running clock in the entire second half.
Oh, it was nothing but Harbor Beach in the first half. And just when you thought Cass City got something going, it took individual guys like Austin Ginther, guys like that, making tackles in the backfield, forcing second and long for Cass City. They had nothing to respond with through the air. Just wasn't working. They only had three completions through the air. They just had no answer for Harbor Beach. And when the punting team come on the field, it was a disaster for Cass City. They had one shanked punt. They had one punt that even get off. It was such a poor snap. And obviously, when they did get it off, Josh Shelkey took it to the house. So punting the football, special teams, huge problem for Cass City. Offensively, they ran the ball very well. They had 173 yards on the ground. They did a lot of things well. Special teams really let them down.
In the third quarter, Harbor Beach is the only score in the game, actually, in the third quarter, was from Austin Sells, a 3-yard run. Mitch Hearn with the extra point made it 42-0. And then Sawyer Cuthrell found himself in the end zone on a 1-yard run in the fourth quarter. The only score of the fourth quarter made it 42-6, and that was our final. Harbor Beach 42, Cass City 6. Give some credit to Cass City, though. They looked very strong. They came into this game with a game plan, and they executed on their first drive, and then all of a sudden the wheels started to fall off the wagon.
They did. They come out. They forced Harbor Beach to punt right on their first series. Didn't even give Shelkey a chance, Coach Shelkey, that is, to go for it on fourth down. It was fourth and quite long. Had to punt it away. So they did come out and do what they wanted to do. They ran the ball well early. They mixed in some passes at what I thought was good times. Erla throws a good ball for Cass City. He really does. It appeared the Harbor Beach defensive backs made better moves on the ball than Cass City's wide receiver did. Again, I thought the balls, for the most part, were on target and accurate. Just couldn't haul them down. Good tip passes and stuff by the defenders. And again, they ran the ball very well. They had 173 yards on the ground. That's quite a bit. They did a lot of things right. Just a turnover at a bad time, and Harbor Beach, all they need is a little bit, and they take a mile.
Mason Erla ended up on the night 3-for-8 in passing. No interceptions for 17 yards. But also, Harbor Beach's defense was credited with 3 tip passes on the night, 2 of those to Chris Keys. So really, when you look at that, if those were complete to Mason Early, he'd be going 6-for-8 for a lot more yards and a lot longer of drives, as well as the momentum. The entire first quarter felt like all momentum was on Cass City's sideline. It honestly felt like that in Harbor Beach.
It truly did. Cass City come out and got the first stop of the game. They'd make a nice drive down the field. Again, that's when the special teams, Harbor Beach's defense, responded as well, and then that's when the poor special teams came into play. And I can't say that enough. It was just a revolving door, and then all of a sudden Harbor Beach scores quickly, and then Cass City has the ball and makes a nice drive again, moves the ball down the field slowly but steadily, 3-4 yards a carry, and Harbor Beach had no answer for that. But when they went to the passing play, they got big tip plays on defense, which forced third down and long, and sometimes fourth down and long, and then right back to the punting game.
One interesting stat I found very intriguing on Friday, the time of possession game, especially in the first half. Harbor Beach had the ball, and they scored, mind you, 35 points in the first half, and they had the ball all for 8 minutes and 14 seconds. Cass City, 15 minutes, 46 seconds, scoreless in the first half. And so I started doing the math. In the first half, Harbor Beach averaged a touchdown every 98 seconds they had the ball. 98 seconds, they would put up 6 points.
Can you say Oregon Ducks? I mean, seriously.
Unfortunately, I can.
Yes, you can. That's what it reminds me of. The Oregon Ducks strategy is pound the ball. It doesn't matter on the ground, through the air. They don't waste much time. They have They have their task in hand, and they go for it. There's no second thoughts.
What's scary about this Harbor Beach squad, though, this year is, like you said, they will throw the ball, they will run the ball regardless. Josh Schelke was 0-for-1 on the night for no yardage. It was overthrown over Chris Keyes' head. They didn't have to rely on their passing game at all, and I'd like to think that Josh Schelke has quite the arm.
I think that's a double-edged sword there, Clark. I think it's a credit to Harbor Beach on the offense and defensive side of the ball and on special teams. They won the battle there, rushing on defense, obviously, and they won on the special teams by forcing bad snaps and returning one to the house. But there's going to be a game, whether it's be next week, whether it's the first round of the playoffs, second round of play, wherever that game might be, they're going to have to throw the ball. And to me, it's easier to make passes in the clutch when you've been doing it all season.
There's going to be a little dust on that bottle.
Exactly. So I enjoyed the fact that Harbor Beach played so well without having to throw the football, but I think in the next coming weeks, you're going to see Schelke attempt, even if it's 6-7 passes per game, even in the first quarter, when it means something, just to make sure that that option is still in the playbook come playoff time.
7:14 on your FM dial on Sports Radio 102.1 on the Strong Side with Clark Ramsey and Dave Hansen, broadcasting on behalf of WLEW Sports. It's time for a quick break. When we return, we will have Troy Schelke, the head coach of the Harbor Beach football program, on the phone with us. Stay tuned. Left side or right side, you're listening to The Strong Side.
What's a football game without a great tailgate party? McDonald's Food and Family Center has all the supplies you need to make your fall game party a huge success. Whether you want the fixings to make your own great tailgate party snacks or you'd like ready-to-eat goodies to grab and go from the deli counter, McDonald's Food and Family Center will help make your pigskin pig out the talk of the parking lot. And of course, they're there 7 days a week for all your grocery, floral, and convenience needs. You'll be pleasantly surprised when you see how many shopping needs you can fulfill in one stop at friendly and helpful McDonald's Food and Family Center in the Northgate Shopping Center, Bad Axe.
It's Chevy Truck Month at Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 and Sebring. Drive to the shore and save more on a new 2014 or 2015 Chevy truck.
Hi, this is Rod Teese from Moore Shoreline and Sebring, wanting to tell you that leasing has never been better than now. And get a 2015 Silverado Heavy Duty Crew Cab 4x4 LT. Leather spray and bed liner, all-terrain tires, 6.0 V8 Vortec motor, heated seats, navigation, zero down, 36 months, 15,000 miles per year. For everyone, the price is $429 per month, and for gym employer family members, $397.
At Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 in Sebring, where you'll find your new truck and find new roads.
Man, what a perfect day for a ball game. I'm starving. Where's that hot dog stand? Hey, what's that guy doing under the bleachers? Looks like he left a bag. Did he forget it? Am I just being paranoid? I don't want to scare the kids, but this just doesn't seem right. Excuse me, officer. Someone just left a bag under the bleachers.
We all play a role in keeping our communities safe. If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities. If you see something, say something is used with permission by the New York MTA.
Am I wrong?
You're listening to The Strong Side on WLEW Sports. Left side or right side, you're listening to The Strong Side. Clark Ramsey and Dave Hansen broadcasting from our East Side campus in Huron County for WLEW Sports. And joining us via the tally right now is Troy Schelke. How are you doing today, sir? Troy, are you out there?
Hi, Clark.
Hey, sorry about that. I had you on mute for a hot second there. One of these weeks, okay, We'll have everything figured out for you. Hey, not too bad of a victory there. Now out to a 3-0 start, defeating Cassidy 42-6. Take us through that one.
Yeah, I think a good ball game for us, different challenge. Finally played a team that wasn't a spread team and played a T-trap series team, which we'll see again this weekend. And so that made us work on things a little bit differently, especially defensively.
Congratulations on the win, Coach. Dave Hansen here. Point out a little bit that you mentioned that wing T offense that's coming your way. We really felt that Cass City, especially early in the game, come out with a little more maybe enthusiasm than maybe I expected. They ran the ball fairly well to begin the game. What were you thinking? How did that feel, and how did your guys respond to that?
Yeah, they gained quite a bit of yardage on the ground. I felt like we kind of started slow, kind of emotionally, and we've done that before at home, especially early in the year in past years, so that's kind of a strange thing. So I thought, yeah, they had the emotional edge early on, and did run the ball, and I thought we picked things up in the second quarter, and really got going there and got some breaks. And then, you know, I thought we finished kind of slow, too. You know, they had a long drive near the end of the game, and we kind of fumbled around on our last drive. So I thought a little slow start, not a great finish for us, but a pretty good middle.
Looking by the numbers here, this game against Cass City, 267 yards rushing the ball, 0 yards passing the ball, obviously not lacking any sort of offense there. Will we see a little bit of a passing game as the weeks progress here?
Yeah, we definitely want to mix in the pass with the run, and some weeks it'll be, you know, a lot of passing depending on how the defense plays us. But yeah, we'd like a little more balance in that. That's just kind of the way it turned out. So we have a lot of confidence in our passing game, and we definitely want to get that going so that teams can't just stack the line against us.
Right, I do agree with that, Coach. I think you have the ability to do that. I really felt that I was talking with Clark during the game and even during this show before you come on the air that your special teams versus Cass City special teams was completely lopsided. I thought your special teams dominated their portion of the game. It's not just offense and defense. Cass City made some mistakes on special teams, and you guys capitalized. You know, what did you tell your guys, and what did you feel about that situation?
Yeah, that's interesting because I think that's kind of how our passing game will help us too. Our passing game will get our athletes into space, and I think, you know, on punt returns and kick returns, we're real dangerous because those are open field plays. So, you know, that's a big reason to get our passing game going too. We haven't had I don't think a punt return or kick return for a touchdown in a long time. So that was really nice to see right before half to see us return that punt like that.
You mentioned getting your athletes in open space on special team plays, which brings me to a scary moment in the first quarter for Harbor Beach when Jonas Herman, number 73 for your offensive and defensive line, injured his left knee on the kickoff after a touchdown. What's his status?
Yeah, we don't know. He'll hopefully go to the doctor tomorrow, go to the orthopedic surgeon. Quite a bit of pain when he suffered the injury, quite a bit of pain this weekend. So, you know, sometimes that's a sign that it's not ACL. So, you know, we just have to kind of keep our fingers crossed, and hopefully we'll get some good news on that later this week.
Yeah, we'll definitely keep him in our thoughts as the week moves forward. Coach, averaging 48.3 points per game so far last week against Cass City. You only held the ball for 8 minutes in the first half, but managed to score every 98 seconds. Tell me about that. Is that part of the game plan, that almost Oregon Duck style offense, or is it just kind of the way things worked, good field position, that kind of thing?
Yeah, you know, we definitely want to score, and if we can score quick, that's all right. You know, defensively, we want to get off the field, and then, you know, offensively, as long as we're moving the ball, we're not really concerned how we score. So, yeah, I wasn't aware of that regarding the other night, but yeah, Cass City's a tough team. They're big and strong, and able to control the ball a little bit here and there, and that'll be a challenge for us again this weekend facing another T-Trap Series team.
As far as the future for Cass City here, of course, a junior quarterback, a junior running back, and a solid front line for them. I do believe you play Cass City again next year. What's your thoughts there, meeting up with Cass City in the future? Strong program.
Yeah, you know, they have a great coaching staff over there. Coach Cottrell's back, and he had a good run in the past. And so, yeah, they're going to get their JV. Was really solid the other night, two big, strong kids there. So, yeah, I expect them to really do well. I am anxious to see how they do the rest of the year this year. I hope they do well this year, too.
Troy Schelke from the Harbor Beach Football Program, head coach for the past 16 years and been with the program for the past 24 years. How does that make you feel?
Old.
Well, those strides are definitely long enough, and that you're not showing your age at all, I must say that. But hey, thanks for being on the strong side, and best of luck to you as you're taking on Sandusky in the first week of Greater Thumb Conference divisional play.
Thank you much, Clark. Dave.
That was Troy Schelke of the Harbor Beach Football Program. It's time for another quick break. 722 and Sports Talk Radio 102.1.
What's a football game without a great tailgate party? McDonald's Food and Family Center has all the supplies you need to make your fall game party a huge success. Whether you want the fixings to make your own great tailgate party snacks, or you'd like ready-to-eat goodies to grab and go from the deli counter, McDonald's Food and Family Center will help make your pigskin pig out the talk of the parking lot. And of course, they're there 7 days a week for all your grocery, floral, and convenience needs. You'll be pleasantly surprised when you see how many shopping needs you can fulfill in one stop at friendly and helpful McDonald's Food and Family Center in the Northgate Shopping Center, Bad Axe.
Sergeant Jason Nielsen was paralyzed while serving as an MP in Iraq.
The sniper from down the alleyway shot me. 6 weeks later, I woke up at Walter Reed, not really knowing where I was at.
Paralyzed veterans of America's National Service officers, such as Sherita Latham, are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned.
I could call Sherita at 11 o'clock at night and she would answer the phone and be like, "What can I do for you, Jason?"
If someone needs you, you listen to them. If they call, we're there for them.
She worked with my wife hand in hand, took care of everything for me just so I could focus on just recovery and trying to get on with life.
If there was no PVA, we wouldn't have the benefits that we have. We wouldn't know about the benefits.
To learn how you can help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Sports Talk Radio 102.1, Clark Ramsey and Dave Hansen here on The Strong Side. Your 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock show here on Sports Talk Radio 102.1 every single Sunday as we recap the week beyond us and take a look at the week ahead of us. Right now, we've just got off the phone with Troy Schalke, the coach of the High Reach Pirates, in the WLW Sports Game of the Week. Cass City now at 2-1. Harbor Reach advances to 3-0, but bright lights for Cass City in their future.
Absolutely, Clark. I think Coach Schalke nailed it on the head there. Their JV team, it looks very promising as they beat Harbor Beach quite handily this weekend. And, again, they have some offensive players there that looked really well. There was bits and pieces of that team that looked, again, very good, just couldn't quite get the job done, a turnover, some miscues, just simple things that completely killed drives. And when you give Harbor Beach good field position, they score and score quickly.
Let's take a look now at the powerhouse in the west side, the good old green machine, the Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers, taking on Ubly in Ubly, and Lakers comes home with a victory 36-22. It was a back-and-forth game the whole way, and Lakers found themselves on top. Lakers scored first, Diaz Reyes, with a four-yard run to start the scoring off, and the two-point conversion failed, making it 6-0 Lakers. Ubly responds, though, Jeff Wright with a 24-yard pass to Roman Welton. Two-point conversion is good, and suddenly the Ubly Bearcats are leading the Lakers 8-6. Second quarter now, Lakers with the on their possession. Dustin Cady with a 68-yard run as the quarterback. The two-point conversion failed, and Lakers now with a four-point lead, 12-8. Ubly responds again. Dominic Rosenthal, four-yard run. Two-point conversion was good, making it 16-12. Ubly then by four. Lakers, though, before the half runs out, responds with a Seth Bowles 7-yard run. Two-point conversion was good, makes it 20-16 Lakers at half, and Lakers didn't look back from there. They start the scoring in the third quarter with a Dustin Cady 25-yard pass to Seth Bowles and a two-point conversion to boot. 28-16 Lakers. Now, Ubly, one last chance here in the fourth quarter. Dominic Rosenthal, a 4-yard run, two-point failed, makes it 28-22, a six-point game. And Lakers, though, shuts the door on the Ubly Bearcats. Terrence Dubes with a 9-yard run, two-point conversion is good, makes it final score 36-22.
Yeah, Ubly, they played very well through this game. Again, Lakers expected to win this game quite large. I know the scoreboard says they won by 14, but a close game. Ubly scored in the fourth quarter to make it 28-22, a six-point game with just 4 minutes left into the game. So Ubly right down to the wire with them. And it's good to see, and what I really like about what I see from these two teams, Clark, is this game was a close battle, and both teams needed to open up the playbook, spread it out, throw some passes down the field. For example, looks like Lakers attempted 10 passes in this game. Not something that they want to do, but they're going to have to do looking forward down their schedule.
The man of the night, though, for this Lakers squad, Dustin Cady, the quarterback, he does it all. He even does windows, Dave. He ended the night 15 rushes for 208 yards and a rushing touchdown. He was 5 for 10 for passing for 69 yards and threw for a touchdown. He had two interceptions. He picked off two passes. And he forced a fumble and recovered a fumble. Not too bad.
And that is not a bad Friday afternoon's work there at all. Dustin Cady, probably best game of his career, I would imagine, going forward, doing a little bit of everything. He's a guy that you got to keep an eye on, obviously, on the offensive side. But on defensively, somebody's got to get a body on him, and he's going to start getting the treatment of not throwing in his area either. He's a guy that is always around the football, and you never know what he's going to do once he's got it.
Of course, the Lakers, to start this game, intercepted Ubley on the first drive of the night, which resulted in a touchdown, and not even 2 minutes had gone off the clock. So all of a sudden, Lakers out 6-0. Ubley had to be a little bit stunned, but I'm impressed by the Ubley Bearcats squad. Short in numbers, but yet came and fought back every single time Lakers scored in the throughout the entire first half. Lakers scored, Ubley would respond. Lakers scored, Ubley would respond. And then Lakers scored to finish the first half, and then it was all Lakers second half.
Yeah, and reports are in that they got a couple more injuries that are going to pile up, which they cannot afford. But to hit on what you said there, Clark, after that touchdown by Lakers, Jeffrey Wright and company, not threatened by it at all, come back down the field and actually throw it again for a touchdown. Roman Welton making a great catch to score a touchdown there. He actually had another circus catch throughout the game. So they have the ability to throw the ball down the field.
Which is something we haven't seen in the first 2 weeks from Ubley.
No, it's nothing that they're even comfortable doing. If you look in their history, they haven't hardly thrown the ball at all. The wing tee has been good enough for them to make the playoffs every year. They're very disciplined. They always have a good offensive line, and they always have tailbacks that work well off of that offensive line. And they always play stingy defense, and that has gotten them to the playoff for years and years and years. But there is times where you're going to be trailing in a game where you're going to be short on time. Throwing the ball can help you, especially use the sidelines to move the ball and have more plays.
Ubley with four turnovers on the night, two fumbles, two interceptions, and Lakers first drive in that second half. When you come out, you make all of your adjustments, and Lakers that scoring drive resulted in 57 yards and lasted over 6 minutes taking off that clock.
Oh, and that's a great way to wear down the defense, especially a defense with not a lot of players on the bench to swap out. They just wear Ubley down, and they did everything they could to stay in this game. And very happy to see that. And, you know, they battled all the way to the end against a team that probably, on paper, is better, much better than they are. But Ubley showing that they still got some left in the tank and took Lakers right to the wire.
And, of course, Ubley scored with 3 minutes and 55 seconds left in that fourth quarter to come within 6 points. But the amount was a little bit too much to overcome. And a key stat here for the Laker defense, Austin McCabe, 12 tackles on the night. Double-digit tackles for Austin McCabe on that front line.
Yeah, other than Dustin Cady scoring all the touchdowns and picking off the passes, Austin McCabe doing the dirty work. It sounds like he's in on every other tackle there is on that game. Credit to him, because he's always battling them offensive linemen of Ubley's, and that's great. He's in on all the tackles. He is he's definitely a ball hawk, and he knows you can't run at him. You know, you almost got to run away from a guy like Austin McCabe.
We do apologize. We tried to get a hold of Adam Grabowskis, the head coach for the Lakers, today, but he appears to be unavailable, so we apologize for not hearing from the Laker coach tonight. But, Dave, I'm going to say right now, looking at the Lakers' schedule, who is going to stop the Lakers? Next week, they're at Cass City, actually the WLIW Sports Game of the Week, at Vassar, home against USA, home against Bad Axe, at Reese. And week 9, we just confirmed this, Lakers is going to be playing Beal City.
Okay, well, I will take Beal City if I get a chance there from everything that I have heard on Beal City. But let's be more realistic and locally. I tell you what, that Cass City team is going to give them a handful next Friday night. And I'm looking forward to seeing that. This Vassar team is got everybody scratching their heads. Not really sure what you're seeing there. You know, they don't play well 1 week. They play very well the next week. Same with the Reese Rockets. Bad X gets a nice win this week. There's still a few question marks on Lakers' schedule, but it's going to be a schedule that prepares them for the playoffs, which is a good thing.
7:31 on your FM dial, Sports Talk Radio 102.1. You're listening to The Strong Side with Clark Ramsey and Dave Hansen. It's time for a quick break. We'll continue to break down the area's games right after this on Sports Talk Radio 102.1.
It's Chevy Truck Month at Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 and Sebring. Drive to the shore and save more on a new 2014 or 2015 Chevy truck.
This is Jay Maynard, just here to let you know we have another great lease on a 2014 Silverado 1500 Crew Cab 4x4 LT. It's got leather, straight-in bed liner, 20-inch wheels, all-terrain tires, auto-temperature dual-zone air, heated seats, trailer brake, custom sport package, power seat, rear camera, Bose system. $439 a month for everyone. $397 per month for GM employees and family members. Come see me, Jay Maynard, and let's make a deal.
Find your new truck and find new roads at Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 in Sebring. What's a football game without a great tailgate party? McDonald's Food and Family Center has all the supplies you need to make your fall game party a huge success. Whether you want the fixings to make your own great tailgate party snacks or you'd like ready-to-eat goodies to grab and go from the deli counter, McDonald's Food and Family Center will help make your pigskin pig out the talk of the parking lot. And of course, they're there 7 days a week for all your grocery, floral, and convenience needs. You'll be pleasantly surprised when you see how many shopping needs you can fulfill in one stop at friendly and helpful McDonald's Food and Family Center in the Northgate Shopping Center, Bad Axe.
Left side or right side, you're listening to The Strong Side on Sports Talk Radio 102.1. Clark Ramsey and Dave Hansen with you right now. 7:34 on your FM dial on Sports Radio 102.1, a portion of WLEW Sports. A fall weekend is upon us, and it feels like fall. We had a bit of hint of rain on Friday. We had rain on Saturday. It was an overcast, typical Midwest lack of an economy Sunday here. And speaking of lack of economy, the Detroit Lions fell off the tracks and went down that ditch hard today. But we won't get into that right now because it's time to check the weather. This weather update is being brought to you by Graf Chevy Buick. You're here today, here to stay, Chevy and Buick dealer in Sandusky. For great vehicles, great incentives, great selection, and great service, visit the great Graf Chevy Buick at M46 in Sandusky. Paul Janis.
It looks like our stretch of dry weather will come to an end as we go through the next couple of forecast periods. We currently have an upper level low that will be passing just off to our north, and a surface front will sweep across the region come about late Monday afternoon and throughout Monday night. Looks like the showers will come to an end as we look ahead towards Tuesday, as we have high pressure ridging in from the west, which will give us sunny, dry conditions. Forecast details for tonight, we're looking at mainly cloudy skies, lows at 42 to 47. Winds will be from the southwest at around 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, a 40% chance of afternoon showers. They will be isolated in nature. Highs at 58 to 63 with winds from the southwest at 6 to 12 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, any showers will come to an end, otherwise partly cloudy. We'll have lows in the mid-40s. Tuesday will be sunny, dry, highs in the mid to upper 60s. From WLEW Precision Weather Service, I'm meteorologist Paul Janis.
Thank you, Paul, for that. We'll return on Sports Talk Radio 102.1 right after this from Graf.
At the premier truck dealer in the Thumb, Graf Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky, we join Keith, Brandon, and Sam.
At Graf Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky, we always have a great selection of Chevy Silverado and Duramax diesel pickups.
And at the right price, because trucks are what we do.
Right now, drive a 2014 Silverado Double Cab 4x4 for only $274 a month and save over $14,500 on a 2014 Silverado HD.
The 100 anniversary deals just keep getting better.
So stop into the premier truck dealer in the Thumb at Graf Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky.
36-month, 30,000 GMBPP lease to qualified buyer. First month payment plus tax, title, license, and dock fees due at signing. Payment plus tax.
We got a lot of trucks.
You can say that again.
Well, it was a small-town throwdown all weekend long throughout the region. Dave, I was impressed by the scores. I mean, we had a couple of blowouts, but for the most part, it was pretty darn close across the whole way.
Absolutely, and we had some really good ball games, and we just went through a couple of them. Some games went back and forth. You've seen some teams leaving their comfort zones, starting to throw the football, leaving the wing tee a little bit, throwing play action out of the wing tee, spreading it out. Great to see some of these teams opening up the playbooks and really you know, expanding their, stretching out their kids' knowledge of the game.
One score that surprised everyone and shocked the world, and for no apparent reason, Bad Axe 24, Sandusky 21. Let's take you through this one. A barn burner all the way through. Bad Axe scores to start the game. Matt McVay with a 2-yard run. The 2-point went also Matt McVay and makes it 8-0 Bad Axe only in the first quarter. Sandusky responds, though. Chase Tucker brings in a 15-yard run for the Potter PAT was good. Makes it 8-7 Bad Axe, leading by a mere point. Now into the second quarter. Sandusky. Jacob Lasecki, the quarterback for Sandusky, a 15-yard pass complete to Danny Hale. The Potter PAT is good, and Sandusky's on the league board on top 14-8, but that would be the last time they led throughout it. In the third quarter, Bad Axe's Tommy Morneau, 11-yard pass to Jared Brown. Tommy Morneau, the 2-point conversion complete, 16-14, Bad Axe leading by 2 points. Bad Axe scores again. McVay recovers a fumble in the end zone. Tommy Morneau, the 2-point conversion good, 24-14, Bad Axe leads. And Sandusky in a last-ditch effort, Chase Tucker in a 30-yard run, Potter PAT was good, 24-21. But one thing I'd like to note here, Bad Axe defense hung on for the last 6 minutes and 41 seconds, did not allow Sandusky to score, and Bad Axe brings home the victory, 24-21.
Yeah, very impressive game, and would have been a very exciting game for anybody that watched it. I think what the biggest shocker to me, Clark, is besides the fact that not only did Bad Axe win this game, they went into Sandusky's house and beat them right there on their own field against Sandusky. Bad Axe, a lot of people pick Sandusky to win that game. Bad Axe has got some players there that can really handle their own when it comes to football, and you see Mac McVay is one of them. He can score at any time, and the other one is the quarterback giving him the ball, Tommy Morneau. We're gonna dive into stats here, Clark, and I'm gonna lead the charge here. 21 carries for Tommy Morneau for 198 yards. That is awesome, Clark.
198 yards. That's 2 yards shy of 2 football fields, in case you're wondering. Bad Axe had 14 first downs on the night, 40 plays of rushing the ball for 266 yards. Only 30 yards passing on 6-for-9 for Tommy Morneau in the passing game. They had one fumble and lost one fumble, as well as Sandusky, so they even out there. But one thing I do like to see is the discipline of Bad Axe coming through 2 penalties for 20 yards on the entire night.
Absolutely, and looking down the stat sheet here, Clark, both teams had 14 first downs. Bad Axe passed for 30 yards, Sandusky 31 yards. Both teams lost a fumble, and the penalties, two for Bad Axe, 3 for Sandusky. And actually, looking at the rushing totals, Sandusky actually rushed for approximately 40 more yards than Bad Axe. So this game, just by looking at that, you could tell it was very close. Sandusky had more yards, but obviously didn't win the only stat that matters, which is on the scoreboard.
And one thing that makes the world a difference is, I mean, that fumble recovery in the end zone, Matt McVay jumps on it. All of a sudden, your offense doesn't need to come onto the field. You don't need to waste any time off the clock, and you're getting 6 to 8 points.
Absolutely, Clark. That was probably the game changer in this game, because before, the whole entire game was one score, And in the third quarter, Morneau hits Jared Brown for a touchdown and takes the lead by 2, and then right after that, immediately after, McVay recovers that fumble, Bad Axe goes up by 10. That was the most any team led at any point in this game, and Sandusky just not have enough firepower and not enough time to get back into that game and tie it up.
And we'd like to thank the Bad Axe Hatchet Twitter feed, actually, for confirming a few of our stats here. They do an excellent job. If you're not following Bad Axe Hatches, if you're curious on how Bad Axe is doing, they actually do every sport. They've been doing some volleyball as well as the football, and updating on every scoring play and also key points throughout the game. So thank you to whoever's running the Bad Axe Hatchet Twitter feed out there. Of course, you can follow WLAW Sports on Twitter as well, at WLAW Sports. We update it every single time there is a key play and a touchdown, as well as stats throughout the game and photos from the field. It's all at WLEW Sports on Twitter. That's at WLEW Sports. That's one word. One interesting thing here, I mean, Tommy Morneau 6-for-9 for 30 yards and 1 touchdown. Bad Axe was hitting on all cylinders throughout the game and responded to Sandusky. I mean, Sandusky had a heck of a rushing game. We saw that against, actually, I saw that against USA in week number 1. Chase Tucker, 17 carries, 114 yards, 1 touchdown. Lasecki, the quarterback, 18 carries, 153 yards, and 35 yards and 3 yards for Stone DeVault. But really, I mean, Sandusky has a lot of offense, but props to Bad Axe for stepping up to the plate.
Absolutely, and you can credit their defense for holding Sandusky to 21 points and obviously keeping them from scoring in the fourth quarter when that game got close, especially the last 6 minutes. Sandusky had an opportunity to take the lead or even tie in that game, and Bad Axe just basically said no and just did not allow that to happen. One crucial thing for me, I think, is even though they completed six passes for just 30 yards, Bad Axe attempted nine passes, had a good percentage passing the ball through the air, and that helps keep that Sandusky team from keeping too many guys in the box trying to slow down McVay, Morneau, even Amon and Brown, who touched the ball. You spread those guys out, it opens the door for Morneau and those guys to break through on big runs. Morneau took advantage of it all night long.
Matt McVay with two touchdowns on the night. Tyman Menard threw for a touchdown into the hands of Jared Brown in that one from Bad Axe. Taking a look at the other games here. Brown City takes out USA. Brown City 28, USA 14. It was all Brown City. They actually jumped out to a 22-0 lead at halftime. It wasn't until the third quarter that USA got on the board when Ryan Miller-Wise, with a one-yard run, found himself in the end zone 22-6 after a two-point conversion failed to connect. And then on the fourth quarter, USA actually scored 14 unanswered points. Tanner Foley with a 60-yard pass to Aaron Sines with a two-point conversion. Good. 22-14, back to one-possession game. But then Brown City shuts the door with a Hagner one-yard run. PAT failed. The final score, 28-14. We've seen USA attempt the pass in previous. They've had some success with the screen pass, but here Aaron Sines find the seam and scoring the touchdown.
They have had success with the screen pass, Clark, but they also, in that game that we've seen with Ubley, did get a couple passes down the field. When defenses start to close in on that running game that they have, they notice they could throw it down the field. Sines very one of the main guys in that. You know, they have the ability, some athletes that can throw the ball down the field and make plays over other defensive backs. It was good to see them break that out. I know it was a time where they needed it, but that play got them within a score of Brown City in a game where Brown City come out big early, 22-0, and just put it on cruise control. USA almost snuck back in this on Brown City.
And USA almost snuck back into it with a total of four first downs on the night, rushing the ball 54 yards on 26 carries, 78 yards passing on 3-for-3 passing from Tanner Foley, no interceptions, but they had three fumbles. They lost one, but then had 40 yards in penalties off of six flags.
Absolutely, and the big thing with them fumbles, Clark, I know they only lost one, which is the same amount Brown City lost, but when you fumble two other times, pretty sure those are plays of 0 yards or negative yards, and you just can't have that. You're putting your running offense in second and long and third and long situations, which is not what their running game is made to do. You know, they want second and six, they want third and two, they want manageable situations for their running game, and when you set yourself back, it makes it very difficult, and now you got to start throwing the ball, which is not exactly your forte.
Aaron Sines led the rushing attack with 8 carries for 32 yards for USA, as well as the receiving end, 1 reception for 60 yards in that touchdown. You only need one to score, Dave. Looking at those scores here, Marlette takes out the Reese Rockets. The Rockets are failing to get off that launch pad this year. Reese now 1-2 as Marlette takes them out 51-34. This game actually started out all Reese. Reese came out, scored twice. Schrader with a 39-yard run, and then Bender with a 10-yard run. Makes it 14-0 Reese, but here comes Marlette. Thomas with a 4-yard run, 14-7 Reese. McGinnis, 43-yard run, 14-14, all tied up. Now to the second quarter, Marlette continues to run here. Thomas with a 6-yard run, Lentz with the PAT, 21-14 Marlette. Marlette again, Thomas with a 63-yard run, 28-14. Marlette scores 28, and in fact, 28 unanswered points in the first half. They throw in two more touchdowns in the second half. Thomas with another yard run for a touchdown, 35-14 Marlette in the third. And then McGinnis with a 48-yard pass to guess who else? Thomas, the man who does windows potentially. I need to confirm it. 41-14, Marlette leads Reese after trailing 14-0. Also they're on top, 41-14. Then Reese finally scores with a Lynch 64-yard pass to Gallister.
He's doing his best Thurman Thomas, I think, Clark. I mean, having himself a heck of a game. 217 yards on the ground. Looks like not sure why, but USA got off to a good Reese here got off to a good start running the ball, scored on a 39-yard run, a 10-yard run early in the game, but only ended the game with 100 yards rushing, and they had 49 on those two rushing plays alone. Looks like they sort of went set themselves back to the passing game. Marlette eventually made an adjustment, stopped the running game, and forced Reese to pass the ball 19 pass attempts. Looks like one interception and two fumbles lost for Reese, three turnovers. But to counter that, Marlette fumbled three times of their own in turnovers. So a lot of turnovers in this game, a lot of offense, high-powered, high-scoring game. But Marlette's defense made the adjustment, slowed down that early running game that Reese brought out, forced them to throw the football, and that's when Marlette took over that game.
Thomas for Marlette. Four rushing touchdowns, one receiving touchdown for five total touchdowns for Thomas. He had 217 yards rushing the ball, 64 reception yards. McGinnis, a perfect 4-for-4 in passing for Marlette for 69 yards and a touchdown. McGinnis also rushed for one touchdown on 12 carries for 52 yards. Kubiter, 8 carries, 65 yards. Ladd with 3 carries, 22 yards. Cloyd, 3 carries, 10 yards. One thing I'd like to point out, though, with Marlette, I always got to stand up for the kickers here. Looks like Marlette's got quite the kicker on this team. They did not miss a PAT, it appears, throughout the... They had one PAT that was no good. But Lentz also kicks in a 27-yard field goal to finish the scoring in the fourth quarter, making it 51-34.
Yeah, it seems they have a guy they can trust. Obviously, throwing him out there to kick field goals, even if it is just 27 yards. But that's a weapon, Clark. We've seen it a couple years back when Harbor Beach had a kicker down the stretch, and he made a couple big-time field goals for them when drive stalled.
Changes the play. It changes the game completely.
Well, when drive stalled, it's nice to have that option to put some points on the board.
And in case you're curious, folks, for those who are keeping score at home, Reese still has a beer line on their squad. He had one reception for 10 yards. It seems like you mentioned Reese, you have to mention a beer line. They've had athletes going through there for years upon years. Taking a look at another score here, East-West crossover, Vassar taking on Memphis. Vassar, of course, coming off of that loss to Harbor Beach. Memphis coming out of that loss from Cass City. Well, it's Vassar 42, Memphis 6. It was all Vassar the whole way. They actually scored 42 unanswered points in this game. It was 35-0 at halftime, 42-0 at the third, and 42-6 Memphis gets on the board with a Dante Walls 13-yard run with time running out there, making it 42-6. Vassar rebounds well after that, shellacking from Harbor Beach.
Yeah, I think they got their bells rung a little bit the week before, and I think they come back with a vengeance, and poor Memphis had to be on the other side of that. Memphis, an improved team from past years, especially coming over to this conference, again, just totally outmatched. Vassar showing us that they have as good a team as we had talked before the season started, showing that they have the ability not only to run the ball, they had 222 yards rushing, but had 201 yards through the air and completed 14 out of 21 pass attempts. Vassar, kind of a team that can beat you in a bunch of different ways. Harbor Beach credited them last week for slowing down both of those options. But Memphis today on Friday did not have that same luxury.
Like Dave was saying, rushing the ball for Vassar was Callahan. He had two touchdowns. Pratt threw for a touchdown. And receiving Wargo, one touchdown. Callahan with another receiving touchdown. And Fabro with another touchdown. Memphis, not much going there. They had a couple runners with 30 yards apiece, McHugh and Wallace. And Wallace, of course, had the lone touchdown for Memphis and Gillespie, the quarterback. 12 carries, 3 yards. That's never promising. Obviously, that front line was won by Vassar.
Absolutely, and he was 1-for-5 passing for -3 yards. So that one pass play obviously was a screen pass or a dump off to the running back. That went nowhere. So totally outmatching this game again. Vassar bounces back with a vengeance, and Memphis happened to be on the receiving end of that.
And, of course, going through 8-man football, just some final scores here. Once again, Peck defeats Caseville 53-0. Deckerville over CPS 66-13. Dryden over North Huron 42-0. Kingston over Charlton Heston Academy 69-12. Of course, I'm a big fan of that name, Charlton Heston Academy. And Owen Gage over Akron Fairgrove 34-0.
Yeah, Clark, no surprises there in eight man. Most of those predictable
as
games.
As expected.
Yes, unless if you thought Charlton Heston was better than advertised. Other than that, 11 man was where a lot of the upsets happened this week.
Well, Charlton Heston, if you recall from Ben Hur, he was an underdog going into the chariot races, and we all know how that turned out, maybe, for our listeners out there. 7:52 on your FM dial before I start rambling here on Sports Talk Radio 102.1. Time for one more quick break, and we will change our eyes onto the horizon here and take a look at week number 4 in MHSA football. On left side or right side, you're listening to The Strong Side.
It's Chevy Truck Month at Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 and Sebring. Drive to the shore and save more on a new 2014 or 2015 Chevy truck.
Hi, this is Rod Teese from Moore Shoreline and Sebring, wanting to tell you that leasing has never been better than now. You can get a 2015 Silverado Heavy Duty Crew Cab 4x4 LT. Leather spray and bed liner, all-terrain tires, 6.0 V8 Vortec motor, heated seats, navigation, zero down, 36 months, 15,000 miles per year. For everyone, the price is $429 per month, and for gym employer family members, $397.
At Moore Shoreline Chevrolet Buick M25 in Sebring, where you'll find your new truck and find new roads. What's a football game without a great tailgate party? McDonald's Food and Family Center has all the supplies you need to make your fall game party a huge success. Whether you want the fixings to make your own great tailgate party snacks, or you'd like ready-to-eat goodies to grab and go from the deli counter, McDonald's Food and Family Center will help make your pigskin pig out the talk of the parking lot. And of course, they're there 7 days a week for all your grocery, floral, and convenience needs. You'll be pleasantly surprised when you see how many shopping needs you can fulfill in one stop at friendly and helpful McDonald's Food and Family Center in the Northgate Shopping Center, Bad Axe.
Hi, this is John Bon Jovi, asking you to go to serve.gov to get involved in something you believe in. I'm a big believer in the power of we. We can tackle the tough challenges we face and build community through service and volunteering. The reality is, we're all in this together. It's time for you to raise your hand and make a difference. United we stand, united we serve. How will you raise your hand when they call your name? Are you with me? We weren't born to follow. Come on. Go to serve.gov for more information about how to volunteer in your community.
This message is brought to you by United We Serve and the Corporation for National and Community Service.
Listening to Sports Talk Radio 102.1, The Strong Side with Clark Ramsey and Dave Hansen. As we are looking now on to week number 4 of the regular season on MHSAA, thank you for sticking with us through that commercial break. We actually lost all contact with the station, the entire radio station 102.1, while off there for a hot second. But now let's take a look, Dave, at week number 4 of the regular season, and we start to get into divisional play, as everyone's going to be divisional play. We have USA at Bad Axe, Lakers at Cass City, and Vassar at Reese. Dave, USA at Bad Axe. USA is 0-3, Bad Axe 1-2.
Absolutely, and you have to be very encouraged about what you've seen from Bad Axe this week, getting a big-time win over Sandusky. A good game. Bad Axe is at home. You gotta like their odds in this game. USA definitely struggling, looking for something, anything. A team like that could be dangerous as well.
Lakers at Cass City, your WLAW Sports Game of the Week. Coverage starts on Friday at 6:15 p.m. with Clark Ramsey, Dave Hansen, Doug Cole, and Kayla Carson from the friendly confines of Cass City, Michigan. We actually did broadcast from Cass City last year. It's been 2 years for me and Dave. It'll feel good to get back in that booth.
Absolutely.
Very cozy stadium, I
think. Cozy is definitely a good term, and they have a good squad this year. We've seen, you know, the scoreboard didn't show it against Harbor Beach this week, but a comfortable team for us to call next week. And, again, should be a great game. Lakers, you know, a team supposed to be the real deal. Cass City, a little bit of a younger team. Most of their players you mentioned a lot. Cuthrell, the quarterback, Erla, juniors, younger guys that are making plays are ready for that team. Hopefully a team that will improve next year. But for this year, they're going to give Lakers all they can handle, especially at home.
Vassar travels to Reese. I fully expect Vassar to come home with his victory, seeing that Reese is kind of a little on the line here.
Well, I definitely didn't expect Harbor Beach to hand it to Vassar the way they did. And that could be a statement on where Harbor Beach is in their own right. But Vassar rebounded very well this past Friday. And I have to agree with you, Clark, just not seeing enough from Reese right now. Marlette's putting up 51 points on Reese. That is a ton. And Reese, not familiar with that, always a good defensive squad. And if they're giving up points, that's just going to make it very tough for that young offense.
Now on to the east side here, Sandusky at Harbor Beach.
Oh, boy. Anybody playing Harbor Beach right now, you just got to battle it out. But Harbor Beach, obviously a scary, dangerously good team right now, a team that you don't want to mess with, red hot. You got to love what Harbor Beach there. And at home, they're extremely tough to beat.
Memphis at Ubley. This should be an interesting one. Or excuse me, I'm reading two lines there. Marlette at Ubley.
Yeah, Marlette at Ubley. Ubley a little banged up right now. Marlette coming off a 51-point point explosion against Reese. Ubley, again, mentioning they got some injuries there. They've been battling. A very young team. Well-coached. You know they'll always be disciplined and play tough. I can't get past the fact that I know Reese is down. Marlette's scoring 51 points. You got to like Marlette a little bit in that game.
And, of course, our final game here, Memphis at Brown City. Dave and I have not seen either team here, and it could be a toss-up.
It certainly could be, what we've heard, Clark. Memphis, an improved team, a team that is starting to settle into the conference a little bit. Brown City, you know, again, another question mark, another young team looking to make a statement. You know, Clark, if you get in a situation like this, go with the home team. You got to like Brown City a little bit in that case. Coming off a decent week this past week, Brown City probably the team to lean to there.
And, of course, an NCTL 8 player, we have Dryden at Peck, CPS at Kingston, and Caseville at North Huron. And then out of non-conference play, Maurice Morris at Deckerville in 8-man football. And Flint Michigan School of Deaf at Owen Gage and Akron Fairgrove at New Haven Merritt. As far as your 8-man games going there, we'll find out where Charlton Heston Academy is playing for you soon here. One thing I'd like to wrap up here before we finish off on the Strong Side, week number 3 edition, I'd like to point out, Dave, to you that 3 Michigan State quarterbacks took victories in the NFL today. Kirk Cousins for Washington came in after RG3 got injured and went for the victory. Brian Hoyer for Cleveland for the victory. Plus, who likes Manziel anyway, right? And then, of course, our third one, Drew Stanton, the old Detroit Lion there, came in for the victory for Arizona and sealed the victory for the Cardinals way out there on the left coast.
I'll give you a little props this week, Clark. Those are 3 very mediocre teams, especially Cleveland. And, you know, even Arizona is a pretty decent team, but Cleveland, they're not so good of a team. Washington, a lot of question marks there. They are very banged up. DeSean Jackson hurt as well. I'll tell you what, they had a couple good performances from your boys this week.
Notre Dame played a very good football game, and we did. And you got to give them a lot of credit.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself. That's going to do it for the Strong Side this week. No, Sports Talk Radio 102.1. I had that piece from last week, and I didn't get the opportunity to use it. Last week went a little off track. So on behalf of Dave Hansen, I'm Clark Ramsey on Sports Talk Radio 102.1 of WLEW Sports. We will be broadcasting the Cass City game. Cass City hosts the Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers. Should be a great one. They can catch that, of course, on 102.1 this Friday at 6:15 p.m. On behalf of Dave Hansen, I'm Clark Ramsey. Left side or right side, you're listening to The Strong Side.
declaring air superiority over the thumb.